Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles with today's message, I'll be preaching from John chapter 10, the Gospel of John chapter 10. I have maybe one or two messages out of this chapter concerning this subject, the shepherd and his sheep. The shepherd and his sheep. You know, one of the most beautiful and comforting types, pictures, illustrations in the Bible is when the Lord Jesus Christ is presented as the shepherd of his sheep. He is the good shepherd. There's several aspects of this, and we'll see some in John chapter 10 when we get into those scriptures. But Christ is called the good shepherd in John 10 and verse 11. He says this, he says, I am the good shepherd. And how does he show himself to be the good shepherd? He says, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now that settles who Christ is, the good shepherd, and for whom he died. People today talk about who did Christ die for, and many people say, well, he died for everybody without exception. Well, he said otherwise. He said he gave his life for the sheep, and he said he knows his sheep. And we'll go through these scriptures, and I'll show you what I mean. But he gave his life for the sheep. And that refers to Christ's work on the cross, God manifest in the flesh, dying for his sheep, dying for the sins of his people. And the sheep here are believers. How do I know if I'm one of his sheep? You know, the Bible talks about there are goats and there are sheep. And the goats represent those who live their lives in unbelief and die in that state. Christ told the Pharisees, he said this, if you believe not that I am, that is, that he is the Messiah, and that he is the one who bears away the sins of his people all over the world, you'll die in your sins, which means you'll die and be in eternal death, eternal damnation. And so, he gave his life for the sheep, and his sheep are his people for whom he died, and he took their sins upon himself. The sins of his sheep were imputed, charged, accounted to him, and as their surety and their substitute, he died for their sins, shedding his blood unto death, and he redeemed them, and he's going to have them. All his sheep will come to him, and he says that in these verses. So that's just an identity. You know, there are many identifications of Christ in the Scripture. And this one as the shepherd, obviously. He's the captain of our salvation. He's the high priest. He's the mediator. All of these things describe the glorious aspects of the person of Christ as God manifest in the flesh, and the work that he accomplished on Calvary to save his people from their sins. There are also many names and illustrations, types, pictures of the church, which the word church means called out ones. They're called out of the world and into the sheepfold, you might say. And so there are many names for them. They're called the elect of God. They're called the church for which Christ shed his blood. He purchased with his own blood. And so they're called spiritual Israel, the Israel of God. So we could go on and on about that. But here he's talking about the shepherd of the sheep. Christ is the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. Christ is the chief shepherd who brings his sheep into the fold. And he's the great shepherd who will bring them into glory ultimately. Now, this shepherd motif, as you say, as we might say, you know, it goes back. It reminds you of passages like Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. All of that. And see, because Christ is the shepherd of his sheep, they don't lack anything that is God requires and that they need for salvation. And all that, Psalm 23, you can remember that. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. All of that. And so, that's the shepherd of the sheep. And as his people being called sheep, we start out, if you're one of his sheep, evidenced by faith in Christ. Now, that's how you know you're one of his sheep. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your only hope and ground of salvation. You submit to him as the Lord your righteousness. And you rest in him. You repent of dead works and idolatry. These are all gifts of God's grace based upon his righteousness. Christ's righteousness imputed, charged, accounted to his sheep. And so you know you're one of his sheep when you come to faith in Christ. But even his sheep start out in a state of sin and death, lost in their sins. Isaiah 53 says that all we like sheep have gone astray. And so, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That is all of his sheep. Not all without exception. Not the goats, but his sheep. And so we start out as lost sheep. Christ one time speaking to a woman who talked about that he had come to save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. At the judgment, he will divide the whole world, his sheep on the right and the goats on the left. And those sheep are those who are saved by grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is the shepherd and the sheep. Well, here in chapter 10, the Lord had just finished healing a blind man, whom the Pharisees, when the blind man testified that he was healed by Jesus of Nazareth, the Pharisees excommunicated him. And so Christ begins in verse 1 here of John chapter 10, speaking about false shepherds. And he says in verse 1, now listen to this, this is John 10 and verse 1. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now, who's he talking about? He's talking about the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the lawyers, the religious people who were encouraging people to seek salvation, to seek acceptance with God, to seek God's favor and blessings by their works, their efforts in trying to keep the law, to seek righteousness. Now, the Bible is clear that salvation is not by our works. It's not by our efforts. It's not by anything we do or anything we are enabled to do, even by God. The salvation, the ground of salvation, the assurance of salvation is totally, 100%, every bit of it, based upon the obedience unto death, the work, the finished work, of the Lord Jesus Christ as the surety, the substitute, and redeemer of his people. That's how he is the good shepherd. Salvation is not based upon my goodness because I don't have any goodness in God's sight. We all talk about how good people and bad people, we're talking about as they compare in on this plane of this earth as we compare to one another. But in God's sight, there's none good, no, not one. You see, God's standard of goodness is way higher than our standard. Our standard is way low. We're sinners. And we're born in sin. We're ruined by the fall. Fell in Adam. And we're born dead, spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. And we've lost all sight of the perfection of righteousness and goodness that God requires. And so we think, well, if I try to be a good person, which we ought to do, but we think if I try to be a good person, then God will accept me and bless me and I'll go to heaven. But that's not what the gospel of God's grace teaches. The gospel is the revelation of the righteousness of God, not the righteousness of man. Man has no righteousness. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none good, no, not one. And so, how good must I be to enter heaven's glory? I must be as perfect as God requires. I must be as perfect as Christ. I quote this verse all the time on this program, Acts 17:31. How God has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, in that he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Well, the Pharisees here are those who, they didn't enter by the door. Now, what is the door? Listen to it again. John 10:1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. That's what he was calling these false shepherds, false preachers. The door is Christ. The door is the one and only way to God. The one and only way to salvation. Christ said, I am the door. He said that himself. And it's the way of God. It's the way of grace. It's the way of the cross. It's the way of Christ's righteousness, imputed, charged, accounted to me. It's not the way that I work my way into. If you're preaching salvation conditioned on sinners in any way, to any degree, at any stage, you're a thief and a robber, climbing up some other way. You're not coming through the door, which is Christ. And look at verse 2 now, John 10. He says, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Christ actually relates himself here as the door and as the shepherd, because he's the one who made the way into the sheepfold. You understand that? Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This religious pluralism that is rampant today, people saying, well, there's many ways to God or many ways to Christ. No, there's one way. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, the God-man. And he is the way. Peter preached it. He said, there's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one way, my friend, and it's the way of Jesus Christ, who is God manifest in the flesh and who finished the work of salvation by putting away the sins of his sheep on that cross, shedding his blood as the full payment, satisfying the justice of God, and bringing forth an everlasting righteousness whereby God can be just to justify the ungodly. And he is that door. There's no other doors into the sheepfold. If you get in, if you try to get in any other way, you're a thief and a robber just trying to break in, trying to climb up over the wall. And it says, and now read verse 2 again. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And verse 3 says, to him the porter, the overseer, openeth. That's God the Father. If you want access to the Father, you must come through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want access to the Father, you must come on the ground of his righteousness alone, his blood alone. If you try to come to the Father on your own merits, by your own works, by something you did or decided, you will not be received. To him the porter openeth. The door of salvation, the door of eternal life, the door of blessings is open only through the shepherd. That door. And he says in verse 3, he says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leads them out of the world. They hear his voice. Now, how do we hear his voice? In the preaching of the gospel, in the preaching of his word. When you read the scripture, that's his voice. It's not a dream or a vision or some audible voice that you think you might hear. That can be a deception. But when I read His Word, I can tell you, well, do you want to know what the gospel is? Well, go to Romans 1, for example, 16 and 17. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and the Greek also. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. What is the gospel? Go to 2 Corinthians 5:21 and hear His voice. For God made Him, Christ, to be sin for us, Christ who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. What is the gospel? Go to Galatians 6:14 and hear His voice. God forbid that I should glory or boast or have confidence save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The preaching of the cross. That's His voice. And the only way you're going to hear His voice is if by the power of the Spirit in the new birth, He gives you ears to hear. Now, you can hear my voice audibly. You can hear me read the Scriptures or quote the Scriptures. But you're not going to believe it until He gives you ears to hear. That's why Christ said you must be born again. And that's what He's saying here. That he calls His own sheep by name. He knows their name. The Bible talks about those whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. God chose His people before the foundation of the world. That's His elect, and He knows them by name. The Lord knoweth them that are His, Paul told Timothy. And He calls them by name. Back in the Old Testament, the high priest that went into the holiest of all one time a year on the Day of Atonement, he had the names of the tribes of Israel on his breastplate and upon his shoulders. And that's who he went into the Holy of Holies representing. Not all without exception, but just those particular names. And that's what Christ is saying here. He knows His sheep by name. They say that back in the days of the first church, the New Testament days, that shepherds would come out and they were going to bring their sheep into the city, for example, to sell them or sell their wool. And all the shepherds come from different places and they would put their sheep in one corral. And they'd be mixed up together while they were in that crowd. But each shepherd had a particular call for which when he called, his particular sheep knew that call, and they'd follow it. Now, I don't know if all that's true, but that's what I've heard. Well, but it is true in God's sheepfold. When Christ calls their name, they hear His voice by the power of the Spirit. They believe the gospel. They come to Him by God-given faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And verse 4, now John 10 and verse 4, and when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. When he finds His sheep, He goes before them. He's their captain. He's their leader. He's their Lord. He doesn't follow them. They follow Him. You understand that? And it says, they know His voice. They know when He speaks because they have His Word. How do I know if God is speaking to me? In a dream or a vision? No, that can be deception. I know it because I find it in His Word. The book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and go right on through into the New Testament and to Revelation. Isaiah said it in Isaiah verse 8, chapter 8 and verse 20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, there's no light in them. And that's how we know His voice. Those who preach another gospel of salvation conditioned on sinners, salvation by any other way other than the good shepherd giving His life for the sheep, they're not preaching, they're not His voice. They're the thieves and the robbers trying to climb up over the walls. And He says this in verse 5, John 10:5, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. They'll flee from the stranger, for they know not the voice of strangers. When I hear other men or people preach, and if they're not preaching according to this word, if they're preaching a salvation conditioned on sinners, on the works of the wills of sinners, if they preach things about God that aren't true according to the Bible, things about ourselves as sinners that aren't true, things about Christ that aren't true according to the Bible, I know that they're strangers. I know that that I need to flee from them because I know not their voice. I know the shepherd's voice. Now verse 6 tells us that what Christ is doing here was speaking in a parable. It says in verse 6, "This parable spoke Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spoke unto them." Verse 7 says, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." He's speaking of himself. Verse 8, he says, "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." He says in verse 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And he'll go in and out. Wherever he wanders, he's still saved. He'll go in and out and find pasture." That is, he'll find the green grass of God's word. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." He says in verse 10, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But he says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." What is the abundance of life? It's all the benefits and all the blessings of eternal life and glory that are freely and fully given to the sheep, sinners saved by grace, who don't deserve and have not earned any of these benefits or blessings, but they're given to the sheep by the shepherd. And he says in verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." There's the ground of it all. The ground of salvation, the cause of salvation. Think about it this way. The cause of salvation is the sovereign mercy and grace of God. He said, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I'll be gracious to whom I will." It's not of him that runneth. It's not by the works of man. It's not of him that willeth. It's not by the will of man, but of God that showeth mercy. And so the source of salvation is the sovereign love and mercy and grace of God. The ground of salvation is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what is that? That's his obedience unto death, shedding his blood, giving his life for the sheep. And he says in verse 12, look at John 10 and verse 12, "But he that is an hireling," now that's speaking of a false shepherd who is a hired worker. In other words, he's not working for the Lord as far as preaching the gospel. He's working for people, and they want to hear what they want to hear. He tells them what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. He says, "But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not," they don't belong to him, they belong to Christ, "seeth the wolf coming," danger, "and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep." Now think about that, scattered sheep. I think about that in the book of Acts when the Lord, in that great outpouring of the Spirit of God in the preaching of the gospel, Peter preaching at Pentecost, 3,000 were saved. Later on, 5,000 were saved. And rather than staying together, here comes the persecution, and they were scattered throughout the world. Now, we know God had a purpose in that. This was not taking God by surprise, this scattering of the sheep. This is what God intended to do. To get the gospel out to the world, out beyond the confines and oppositions of unbelieving, believing Jews and Judaism, but to get it out to the world. And that's how the churches in the Gentile world began to spread, and the gospel began to spread. And it says in verse 13 of John 10, "The hireling fleeth because he's an hireling and careth not for the sheep." He's in it for himself. Verse 14, he says, "I am the good shepherd." Remember the good shepherd, he gave his life for the sheep. Here he says, "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and am known of mine. He says, I know the sheep and am known of mine. As again, God the Father chose them before the foundation of the world. And you know what he did? He gave them to the Son. And the Son, the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, agreed in that covenant of grace to be their surety, to come and die for them, and to save them, give them life from the dead, and to keep them. He voluntarily agreed to that. And that's what he says in verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He said, this is the will of him that calleth. This is the will of him that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. And listen to what he says here in verse 15. He says, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You see it? The Father and the Son. Nobody knows the Son but the Father. Nobody knows the Father but the Son. If you're going to know God, you must come through Christ. And he says he lays down his life for the sheep. But look at verse 16. He says, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Now, what is the fold that he's talking about? He's talking about the Jews. God has a people out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation. Not just Jews. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first. It came through them first. And to the Greek or the Gentile also. God's elect, spiritual Israel, is made up of sheep all over this world, every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation. It's not confined to one race or one nation. I'll pick up there next week, but I hope you enjoyed this program. Join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.